from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Vice President Gibran Rakabuming Raka asked the central and regional government to eliminate all egos. Hungary supports contactless payment system in Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesian Vice President Gibran Rakabuming Raka closed the 2024 National Coordination Meeting, or Rakornas, of central and regional governments at Sentul International Convention Center, SICC Bogor Regency West Java, on Thursday afternoon. As reported by the Vice Presidential Secretariat in his remarks, Vice President Gibran emphasized the importance of uniting visions and strengthening synergies between the central and regional governments. He also urged all regional heads to put aside sectoral egos in a bid to achieve the vision of a golden Indonesia 2045.
Bapak Ibu yang ada di depan saya ini adalah orang-orang terpilih.
Ladies and gentlemen in front of me are the chosen ones to manage a country as big as Indonesia. We need teamwork. We must be united. No more sectoral egos.
Ini kita perlu kerjasama tim. Kita harus kompak. Tidak ada lagi ego sektoral.
During the event, Vice President Gibran appreciated a number of regions that managed to record significant achievements, especially in economic growth. One of the provinces he highlighted was West Papua, which managed to improve its economy through natural gas or LNG exports. He also asked for the central and regional government to support the free nutritious meal program, one of President Prabowo Subianto's priority programs aimed at improving the quality of people's nutrition. Hungary appreciates Indonesia's step in adopting contactless payment technology or multi-lane free flow for the toll system. To support the success of this toll payment system without stopping, Hungary invested funds of $300 million, or the equivalent of 4 to 5 trillion rupiah. The statement was made by Hungarian Ambassador to Indonesia Lila Karsai at a reception in Jakarta to commemorate Hungarian Revolution Day Thursday night.
Hungary is proud to contribute to Indonesia's ambitions through the multi-lane free flow electronic toll payment system, our largest ever technology transfer export project, and the $300 million investment.
The implementation of multi-lane free flow is expected to reduce congestions at toll gates. According to the Ministry of Public Works and Housing of the Republic of Indonesia, it is estimated to cause losses of up to 4 trillion rupiah per year. Ambassador Karsai also emphasized that this technology transfer is a tangible manifestation of Hungary's support in helping Indonesia achieve the big target of the Golden Indonesian Vision 2045. Hungary, which is currently the president of the European Union, is targeting Indonesia as an important partner in realizing global economic prosperity and stability. The statement was made by Hungarian Ambassador to Indonesia, Lila Karsai, during a reception to commemorate the 68th Hungarian Revolution and Independence Day held in Jakarta on Thursday night.
As Hungary currently holds the presidency of the European Union, we have a unique opportunity to deepen the ASEAN-EU relationship with a particular emphasis on Indonesia as a leading ASEAN economy. Our presidency underscores the EU's commitment to strengthening connections with Asia, fostering trade, investment, and sustainable development. We see ASEAN, and Indonesia in particular, as critical partners in ensuring a prosperous and stable global economy.
Furthermore, Ambassador Karzai explained various collaborative projects that have been successfully implemented between Hungary and Indonesia. One of them is the Budapest Waterworks project, which has successfully worked on 36 clean water management facilities in various parts of Indonesia. There are also efforts to develop agro-technology and $300 million investment in a multi-lane free flow system in Indonesia. The Indonesian government participated in the World Travel Market London 2024 from November 5th to 7th. Quoted by RRI.co.id, Deputy for Marketing of the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, Nimada Ayu Martini, said the Indonesian Pavilion was also present at the WTM London 2024 thanks to the collaboration of her party with tourism-related agencies in DKI Jakarta and Southwest Papua Province. In London on Thursday, she said that her site facilitated 46 tourism service businesses, including travel agencies and accommodation service businesses spread from several provinces in Indonesia. She hoped the application of the concept of collaborative marketing as a joint promotional effort can make Indonesia the first choice of tourists. The UK is the main market for European tourists to Indonesia, with the largest number reaching more than 267,000 people during January to August 2024. That figure increased by almost 20% compared to the same period last year. Let's move it on to the international news. An aircraft belonging to Australian airline Qantas made an emergency landing on Friday due to engine failure soon after takeoff from Sydney Airport, Australia. Reported by AFP, Qantas Chief Pilot Captain Richard Sobiano explained in the airline statement that aircraft QF520 from Sydney to Brisbane, Australia, circled for a short time before landing safely at Sydney Airport. Qantas said its engineers had conducted an initial check of the engine and confirmed that it was a controlled engine failure. A Sydney Airport spokesman said it was not yet clear the link between the aircraft emergency landing and a grass fire on a nearby runway, but the investigation was ongoing. U.S. President-elect Donald Trump is said to be likely to visit Washington, D.C. as early as next week to meet with incumbent U.S. President Joe Biden. CNN reported on Thursday, citing a source, Trump's campaign team is reportedly holding discussions about when the president-elect should travel to Washington, D.C. The team also hopes that Trump will visit the White House as soon as possible, and the source said it might happen next week. The United Arab Emirates and ASEAN held the second ASEAN P Joint Sectoral Cooperation Committee GSCC meeting at the ASEAN Secretariat in Jakarta on Thursday. Listener, let's move it on to commentary for today.
Today's commentary is on Donald Trump elected as 47th President of the United States. Donald Trump, the Republican presidential candidate, won the 2024 U.S. presidential election, which took place last Tuesday, November the 5th. Trump's victory was confirmed after he won 295 electoral votes, defeating the Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris, who won 226 votes. The electoral vote limit in the U.S. is 270. Previously, Trump claimed a political victory in front of thousands of his supporters in West Palm Beach, Florida on Tuesday evening local time. According to Trump, his second term in office will be the golden age of the United States. Donald Trump achieved a surprising victory just 4 years after he stepped down from the U.S. presidency in 2020. Trump managed to use the endorsement of previous Democratic presidents Biden and Obama as proof that Harris is part of the Washington elite circle that must be opposed. In addition, Kamala Harris is often seen as a rigid figure compared to Trump, having difficulty conveying emotional messages that touch the hearts of voters. Kamala Harris' communication approach, both during and outside the campaign, is considered by some voters to be too technocratic. Trump's victory was not rejected by the Democratic camp. Kamala Harris, in her speech at Howard University, Washington, D.C., stated that she accepted her defeat. However, she asked her supporters not to give up hope. From abroad, French President Emmanuel Macron said he was ready to work together with Trump for a second time. Meanwhile, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky congratulated Trump and praised his commitment to peace through strength, which he said would bring closer a just peace in Ukraine. Mark Rutte, NATO's Secretary General, echoed Zelensky's sentiments and said Trump's leadership would be key amid growing global challenges. From Indonesia, President Prabowo Subianto congratulated Donald Trump via his X account. The newly inaugurated head of state said that Indonesia and the United States are strategic partners with strong and diverse relations. According to him, both countries have enormous potential for mutual benefit. Trump's victory is expected to pave the way for cooperation with other world leaders in resolving conflicts in several countries that have claimed tens of thousands of lives and immeasurable material losses. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. I'll start today in history with November 8, 1932, when Franklin Roosevelt was elected President of the United States. On November 8, 1932, Franklin Roosevelt was elected as the 32nd President of the United States. The former governor of New York defeated the incumbent president at that time, Herbert Hoover. During his administration, Roosevelt issued the New Deal policy to save the country from economic crisis and led the United States in defeating Japan and Nazi Germany in World War II. He is the only president of the United States to be elected to 3 terms. Let's move on to November 8, 1949, when World Urban Planning Day was established. World Urban Planning Day, or World Urbanism Day, is celebrated every November 8. The day was first celebrated on November 8, 1949 by Professor Carlos Maria de la Parrera of the University of Buenos Aires, Argentina. World Urban Planning Day is a special day to recognize and promote the role of urban planners and urban planning in creating healthy and prosperous communities. According to the American Planning Association, the day is now celebrated in 30 countries around the world. I learned today in history with November 8, 2013, when Typhoon Haiyan caused landfall in the Philippines. Typhoon Haiyan was a tropical cyclone that formed in November 2013 and was one of the strongest tropical cyclones ever recorded. Formed on November 3, 2013 in the Pacific Ocean and moved westward. On November 8, 2013, Typhoon Haiyan made landfall in the Visayas region of the Philippines. At least 6,300 people were killed, making Typhoon Haiyan one of the deadliest cyclones ever recorded in the Philippines.
To you, yeah. Oh.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government officially issued the receivable write-off bad debt for micro, small and medium enterprises through the Government Regulation No. 47, Year 2024, signed by President Prabowo Subianto at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Tuesday. President Prabowo affirmed that the policy came from the people's aspiration, especially farmers and fishermen, who often face great challenges in maintaining the continuity of their businesses. The head of Presidential Communication Office, Hasan Nasbi, in Bogor on Thursday said, the Government Regulation No. 47, Year 2024, on receivable write-off of bad debts for micro, small and medium businesses in agriculture, farming, fishery, maritime and others, has helped 600,000 farmers and fishermen in developing their businesses. Hasan Nasbi said the policy is aimed to help the farmers, fishermen, as well as micro, small and medium businesses to be free from debt. Specifically, the policy also only aims for micro, small and medium businesses and fishermen, which are the customers of state-owned banks and have been past due for more than 10 years. With the receivable write-off, it is expected those small businessmen, can propose loans again for business capital.
If you're not the one, then why does my soul feel glad today? If you're not the one, then why does my hand fit yours this way? If you are not mine, then why does your heart return my call? If you are not mine, would I have the strength to stand at all? Never know what the future brings, but I know you're here with me now. We'll make it through, and I hope you are the one I share my life with. I don't want to run away, but I can take it. I don't understand. If I'm not made for you, then why? Distance maim my life. If you're not for me, then why do I dream of you as my wife? I don't know why you're so far away, but I know that this much is true. We'll make it through, and I hope you are the one I share my life with. And I pray in your the one I strong that it takes my breath away. And I breathe you into my heart and pray for the strength to stand today. 'Cause I love you.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
The fishing community in Bima, West Nusa Tenggara, has a strong history of maritime culture. No wonder they have a tradition related to the sea. It is called Kalondo Lopi or Kalondo Baga tradition. Kalondo in the local language of Bima tribe means to lower or launch, while Baga is a small boat that has a bagang or tool to catch fish on the side, and Lopi is a term for a large boat. The Kalondo Lopi tradition is in Botto and the Kalondo Kolo tradition in Bima City. Kolo is a village located on the north coast of Bima City. The people here are mostly farmers and fishermen. The duration of making a baga or lopi depends on the availability of cost and materials. Technically, both builders can make one bagang in just 3 to 4 months. Meanwhile, it takes years to make one large lopi or pinisi ship. The manufacturing is still done using traditional methods. The craftsmanship is done by almost all members of the community. An expert craftsman is called panggita. Each person has its own part, whether the deck, stern, and other parts. The procession of making the lopi ship also binds the people in Bima to continue to live in togetherness and harmony, as all people help each other. After the ship is completed, in the evening, the people of Bima hold a Thanksgiving prayer, followed by hospitality until midnight. Then, after the dawn prayer, the ship launching ceremony is ready. Everyone works together to push and pull the boat into the sea. The people rejoice after the ship successfully touches the surface of the seawater. For the people of Bima, this tradition is very sacred. They believe that the ship that has been prayed for can be used to sail anywhere with many hopes, that the ship will return safely with fresh and abundant sea products.
Yeah. inside. I want to just let me show you. I'll give you
still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program we present to you, Miscellany. Listener, today's Miscellany informs you about Borobudur Writers and Cultural Festival, which is held again, offering unique experiences for literature, arts, and culture enthusiasts. The annual event is an important moment to celebrate the world's and Indonesia's cultural wealth. The 13th Borobudur Writers and Cultural Festival is themed Rereading the Relations of Muara Jambi, Nalanda, and Sumatran Sculptures. The event will be held in Muara Jambi National Cultural Heritage in Jambi City on November 19 to the 24th, 2024. The event gathers historians and cultural experts from India, Netherlands, Sweden, Singapore, Malaysia, Brunei Darussalam, Australia, Hawaii, Jakarta, Yogyakarta, Solo, Medan, Jambi, and others. Curator and founder of Borobudur Writers and Cultural Festival, Seno Joko Suyono, said Sumatra was chosen as this year's main highlight based on the investigation for its well-preserved historic traces. The preserved Muara Jambi ecosystem has become the reason why its history is highlighted, even called as part of history. With this evidence, it can be a foundation in supporting the revitalization of the Muara Jambi National Cultural Heritage Site. Listener, the event has cultural discourses, symposium, public lecture, literature discussion, literature dialogue, book launching, literature podium, arts performances, and meditation. Sriwijaya archaeology experts from Indonesia and abroad will be involved in the Borobudur Writers and Cultural Festival. Artists and literature figures from Sumatra and Southeast Asia will also join the event. The experts, artists, and literature figures are gathering in this year's Borobudur Writers and Cultural Festival in Sumatra for a reason. There is a tribute to the Sumatran archaeology study by Satyawati Sulaiman, the first female Indonesian archaeologist who studied Sumatran sculpture artifacts. That was today's Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia. Thank you.
spending, I'm saving up picture kecil. But if you want something, go get it, get it. Minimalistic, bukan pelik-pelik. You got just what to do with the happening. Don't ever use cash base in your game.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, I will bring you pop music from across the country. This time, I'm playing your Betawi pop song entitled Sayur Lodeh, which became popular in the 1970s through the duet of Benyamin Sueb and Ida Royani. The song portrays a humorous exchange in rhyme between a husband and wife who are planning to host a sayur lodeh feast. The husband wants to invite his parents-in-laws to taste his wife's cooking, but the wife hesitates, worried that her husband, a lowly paid government employee, might not have enough money. Now, listener, let's listen to Sayur Lodeh, sang by Kasman and Ika Amoy. Enjoy lagu Sayur Lodeh.
Kalau mpok pinter masak, coba denger lantas tebak. Sampai model-modelnya, sayur asem anak Jakarta.
Rasi gurih udah tentunya, campur santan.
Jakarta,
rasi gurih.
Voice of Indonesia.
Manusia ke dunia. Sang penyair menorehkan garis awal kehidupan yang berjalan terencana dalam pesan yang bermakna mengatakan insan ke dalam semestanya di dunia. Waktu takkan pernah mengulang dan rahasia kan menyapa tanpa salah di hari yang ditentukan. Dilahirkan, ditemukan dan dipisahkan, gugur satu tumbuhlah berjuta cinta.
Of Indonesia.
Lah, kita lanjut ya. Kita jalanin dulu aja gimana?
Well, I'm still figuring out what's best for me.
Cinta kau dalam
tanpa ku berkata.
VOI listener, thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma, signing out. Bye for now.